Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Can we be there?
We are here.
Oh, just think of the time.
You don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right
all
now.
All love so strange.
How you doing today, Brandon Stokely?
I'm doing great.
How you doing? I'm doing fantastic, man.
All right.
Happy Tuesday on a short week. Still so
short week. That's right.
So much to get to still from the game.
Yeah.
As we continue to react to the seventh loss on the road to the Raiders. And then we start, you know, turning our...
These guys. It's like 100 degrees in here. I just got out of the sauna in the steam room. And
can we get a fan? I don't know what's going on. It's very it's very warm in the studio today.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
Like
we got
unusually
a fan.
Warm.
Well, and you're rocking, by the way, I mean, from head to toe. That Bills Mafia, head to toe today. I see you representing. You got the new, like, snap back there. Like, the new one. With, like, the little...
rope?
The little rope around that front. Looking good, man. Looking good. Shout out to my man, Chris. I just saw him at Mod Market. Went over there. Had ordered my food. That's why I was late. I wasn't late, but
yeah.
I came in at the same time as you. For me, that's late. And it didn't go through on the app. So I'm just sitting there. They're like, well, we can make it for you real quick. It's not a big deal. Our app system is shut down. I mean, it's not working.
Okay.
And my guy, and I said, well, I got to be, I got work here starting in 15 minutes. I'm like, we'll make it in 2 minutes. And the guy was sitting down. He's like, Zach can handle the first couple minutes if you don't make it. I was like, oh, what's up, buddy? So shout out
That's
to
great,
Chris.
Man. I love
always
it.
Great
out,
to see you.
Out.
Yeah, we were chit-chatting about some Broncos stuff. And so that was fun. Great to see loyal listeners out there.
Oh, dude.
And we got so much to get into today because we're not done. Anytime you lose to the Raiders, it's not just one day. You know, we're not just turning the page. And Josh McDaniel's first win as a coach.
Oh.
There's still a lot to unpack on what's going on with the Denver Broncos.
There is, and they have issues. Now, it's not some, doom and gloom, sky is falling.
No.
You're 2-2. Everything is still in front of you. But also, the Broncos have real issues that they need to iron out. And if they don't, they're going to be a losing football team this year. It's pretty simple here. And we are going to continue to diagnose those issues. We're going to hear later today from Nathaniel Hackett, from the coordinators, from Russell Wilson, because the schedule is a bit compressed this week with Thursday Night Football. So typically we hear from Russ on like a Wednesday, then we hear from the coordinators on Thursday. I think that's the rhythm of it. It's all jam-packed together today. I'm really looking forward to hearing what these guys are saying on the heels of the dust settling from the Raiders game. And then you got to turn around and play here. You got to turn around and play in just over 48 hours.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Broncos need to turn around and play. That's what they need. And you're playing at home. Get that good feeling back, that winning feeling back, and put this one behind you. And that's what you got to do. You got to put it behind you, move on, and that's what they've already done. I mean, we're Tuesday. I mean,
yeah.
They're way over this game, and it's behind them.
They have to be.
Right.
They have to be.
But we're not.
We're not. We don't.
No. Broncos country's not. I mean, you lose a game like that and to a division team.
Yeah.
And now you're 0-1 in division.
Yeah.
It's not a good way to start. I mean, they were 0-3. And then, you add the sprinkles on top of McDaniels, his first win, and just how sloppy it was offensively. You couldn't stop the run defensively. Is it kind of a mirage? Is that defense a mirage? Are they for real and just had a little bit of a setback there? And we'll find out a little bit more, obviously, as the season rolls on. But, man, it was a tough loss, a game that they could have won, too.
Yes.
And they didn't play their best, and they were still right there.
Right there.
And it was like, D, step up for us. And it felt like 3 years ago.
Yeah. So we'll get to those leftovers here in a little bit. Welcome to the team, Derek Wolf. You've heard sort of the onslaught of messaging and giveaways and stuff like that building up to last night at Mile High Station downtown. One of the coolest events our station has ever put on. Stoke, there was 500 members of Broncos Country there. Place was packed. Place was rocking upstairs, downstairs. They had the bar open. Brothers Barbecue came and catered it. And I met so many of our awesome listeners. Too many to do individualized shout outs like Chris got. But I'm telling you.
Chris is special.
I'm telling you, dude. the backbone of our show is the listeners. And I'm just humbled and blown away by the response that our show got. You know, last night, I know you couldn't make it, but it was one of these things where there was a whole handful of people that made me and us feel very special as a show. So huge shout out. And welcome Derek Wolf to the team. Really looking forward to hearing the insight fresh off of a playing career. So
yeah, it's going to be fun to listen to him and D-Mac and see what you know, what they have to talk about.
Yeah.
First show today, really?
Yeah, really.
First show today. Last night.
Yeah, they did, but, I think, an hour or so. But now is the real deal, and looking forward to passing off our show and being the lead into them. So looking forward to hearing that. And then I came home last night and was watching the San Francisco 49ers, the same team that the Broncos beat a week ago, just absolutely humble the Rams. For Sean McVay and that quarterback and that offense to not score a touchdown in today's NFL, you know, I asked the question, are you feeling a little bit better about what the Broncos accomplished a week ago, considering who the Niners were just 7 days later?
No, I'm not. I mean, look, I knew the Niners were a good football team. They're a good football team. I mean, they can be a great football team. They played at home. The Broncos played the 49ers at home. They lose. They lose by probably double digits. They played them at Mile High in Power. And wasn't pretty. Defense played great. Jimmy G was rusty. They made just enough plays to win that football game, obviously. Their punter was great. Field position was a key in that game. And so, no, look, I mean, knew that 49ers team was real. I mean, that defense is real. They can get after you. It's not easy. And they certainly did that last night. But for me, no, I don't look at it now any different. I mean, just it's the NFL. One week you can look like the best team in the NFL, and the next week you can look like trash. That's just the way it works. So it's ups and downs, and we ride the wave.
Sure.
Turn that, push the on button when you want to talk into your mic. There you go. You got it. You all right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Early dub.
Yeah, but... that's the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, you can't look at last week and say, oh, that team got their tail kicked. For most teams. For some teams, just are trash.
Yeah.
But for most teams, you can't look at it and say, oh, man, look how sloppy they played against the Broncos over there. Well, they were on the road, and they had a few, you know, Jimmy G was rusty, and now they're back at home. They're going to look like a different team.
And I'll say this. Jimmy G didn't, like, totally light the world on fire or anything like that, but I do think the Broncos were the beneficiary of his first game. I will say that. I think the Broncos were the beneficiary of his first game. He wasn't practicing. He didn't get the playbook. This was not in the he was working on the side field with like the maintenance guys.
Just, it was like the stepchild over
yes,
there. Like they wouldn't even let him in the building.
Totally separate
like,
schedule
go in the other building and
then Trey gets hurt and he got to get thrust into action and then it was his first start. He just looked more comfortable last night throwing for 239 yards, a touchdown, didn't turn it over, wasn't sacked once. So it's just again, he didn't, you know, throw for four touchdowns and 400 yards, but he just looked more comfortable, in my opinion. That's what my eyes told me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's not an easy thing to do. Go out there when you haven't practiced a whole lot or played a whole lot and play the quarterback position. And then, oh, by the way, you're playing on the road against a good Broncos defense.
Right.
So that's kind of what you saw there from Jimmy G. And he's not, he's not a special quarterback.
He's not.
But he can win you some football games.
Man, he's the perfect quarterback for that team.
Yep.
That team could go and win the Super Bowl.
They can. They get that. You know, you talk about injuries here. I know we're about to talk about injuries here and what's going on. But, you know, they lost their left tackle. The guy that was filling in for him, they lost him yesterday, and you're going up against a good Rams pass rush there, and they did a really good job.
All right, good stuff there. Any other leftover thought from the NFL this past? I mean, we were so hot on the Broncos yesterday, we didn't get to anything.
I mean, all my future unders are not looking like the Jets win, Seattle wins. Who was the other stinking team? Jets, Seattle, and Atlanta.
How about Atlanta?
I mean, these teams are just absolutely killing me. And the Jets have won two games they had no business winning. They should be 0-4.
Correct.
Cleveland, I hate the Cleveland Browns. And if you're from Cleveland, yeah, I hate the Cleveland Browns. They have cost me twice this year. They blew the lead to the Jets, and they blew the lead to the stinking Falcons. And, I mean, they didn't have a big lead, but they ended up fighting back and getting the lead. They stink. I can't stand the Browns.
Mm.
The reason why it's an armpit of America.
Stop.
The armpit? Is that it?
I actually like Cleveland.
Honestly,
I'm
like
that
Cleveland.
Guy to insult American cities.
Right. Me either, but it's fun. I'm from the South. I'm from the, you know, the bayou. So,
from the mud.
So, but actually, I like Cleveland downtown. It's a very fun place. I went to the All-Star game there, and it was great.
I'm just mad at the Browns right now.
Yeah. I'm just really mad at the Browns.
I understand.
So I'm saying things that, you know, I probably shouldn't say.
You're in the moment.
I apologize to downtown Cleveland.
A crime of passion.
Yeah. But I don't apologize to the Browns.
Okay. We began yesterday's show with the news Javonte Williams tore his ACL. And after we signed off the air, the hits kept on coming. We'll take a dive into it next. We began yesterday's show with the news Javonte Williams tore his ACL and his LCL. Just awful. Just awful. And after we signed off the air, the hits kept on coming. It was a tweet from Mike Kliss that said, per sources, MRI knee exam, mixed results for Broncos outside linebacker Randy Gregory. He will need a scope on right knee and will be sidelined several weeks. Good news is his ACL is intact. There was worry there. Huge loss as Gregory has been a force on the field and a pro off of it, end quote. Not great, Bob.
No, this is NFL, like we talked about yesterday. Colts got a ton of injuries. They're down a lot of guys. So, look, this is the way it goes. Every team is dealing with injuries.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. So, no one's feeling sorry for the Broncos. No one's feeling sorry for the Colts.
It's literally every team.
It's literally every.
How about Buffalo last week in Miami was down 7 defensive starters.
How about that? Right.
7.
Yeah.
The whole secondary was out. The whole secondary. It's like, this is just kind of how it goes, like, in this league. That's why when we go back to the offseason conversations of, like, how Nathaniel Hackett handled the preseason, you cannot protect football players from football.
Mm-mm.
But you can try to get them ready to play. How the Broncos operated, they didn't get the guys ready to play, and you're suffering injuries anyway.
Yeah. And I think for the most part, you know, what they were trying to do is just make it through training camp healthy. And I think for the most part they did that. I would say that was an accomplishment. I mean, no matter what you do, you will have a few injuries, and I think they kept it down. But at the same time, now will you be paying the price for it during the season because you haven't been hitting?
Right.
And you haven't been doing those things that you need to do to play football. I don't know. You're going to get injured. And whether you work hard or you don't work, you know, whether you work hard in training camp or you take it easy and try to keep guys safe, guys will get injured. It's football. But the loss of Randy Gregory certainly hurts. It certainly hurts.
It's a big deal.
But you look behind him and say, okay, Baron Browning, all right. That's not a bad backup to have. I want to see him.
Not a bad backup
to have. I want
to
see him, you know, in the game playing a lot of football. Jonathan Cooper, I think he's been dealing with a hammy, maybe. Hopefully he's ready to return. And the other injury, though, that was kind of popped up yesterday was Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
He was limited.
Mr. Limited.
Yeah, he's got a shoulder.
And I think, look, the play that I think it happened on, and I might be way off here.
Touchdown run?
Yeah. You think so, too?
Mm-hmm.
I might be, because, look, I've had shoulder issues, right, where I've done that. And when you dive and put that football out over your head like that, that shoulder kind of goes back, right? And that's kind of what it was. And I was like, ooh. In the moment, like, oh, okay, he got up, that's cool, because, man, that can be an issue when that shoulder arm is over your head and you reach out there and that arm gets popped back like that, you know, where you have some kind of something goes on in there. Now, obviously, it didn't dislocate or anything like that, thank goodness, but, you know, you got some soreness there. Probably not a big deal, but you put yourself in those positions and you're just like, ooh, thank goodness.
On a short week, though,
right,
too?
On a short week. Exactly. And you don't usually feel it during the game. It's the next day you feel those.
Sure. okay, I mean, we're obviously going to keep our eye on that, and that's something that we're going to, you know, hear from Russell Wilson a little bit later today and Nathaniel Hackett and just how, you know, what's the status of that injury. Russ is a warrior. You know, you can say a lot of things about Russ. Russ is a warrior. Russ missed time for the first time in a 10-year career just last year and came back, like, with the quickest recovery of all time from a, you know, ligament damage in his finger and came back and played great. So Russ is going to play on Thursday night. He'll probably get shot up before the game, I would imagine, if it's any sort of issue. But you just wonder, hopefully this doesn't linger throughout the season.
Yeah, and hopefully it doesn't make him hesitant to run it more. Right? I mean, he sold out for that touchdown.
He did.
Sold out for it.
He did.
But hopefully
he was happy to see it.
Yeah. Hopefully we don't see him being more hesitant to take off and run with the football.
Well, this morning, going back to the Gregory news, Gregory's headed to IR. That's the news of the morning, that Randy Gregory is headed to IR, so you will not have your big-priced ticket, you know, your prize ticket of the off-season free agency period. He's going to be down for the next month. So, Baron Browning, it's step-up season. Let me ask you, who would you rather, in a fictitious universe, who would you rather see fill in on Thursday night, Baron Browning or Malik Reed?
Yeah, I knew you were going there, Baron Browning. Just because we don't know what the ceiling is. Like, we kind of know what the ceiling is with Malik Reed. Good football player. You know, he can get you 7-8 sacks, which is really good. But I want the guy with, I think, the higher ceiling here. And the guy that I think we're all excited about seeing. And that's Baron Browning.
Yeah.
So, for me, it's Baron Browning. How about you?
I think if I had one game to win, I think I'd go with Malik Reed. But we don't have one game to win.
Right.
It'll be a month sample size. Early in a football season, he passed all the tests leading up to this point. It's time. So we'll see what he does with it. It's a massive opportunity in prime time for a young football player. But Baron Browning has played well. Put some more on his plate and see what he does with it. I'm really anxious to watch him on Thursday.
Yeah, and unfortunately for Randy Gregory, this is the theme of his career.
Unfortunately, that's
right?
The truth.
Just missing time. I mean, it's another year where he's not going to play even close to the full season. And hopefully it's just 4 weeks. That's where I'm at now. This thing in 6, 7, 8 weeks. But now all of a sudden, you know, it's just a big blow to the defense. But, you know, this has been his career. I don't think he's ever played a full season.
He has not.
Whether it be suspensions or injuries. And he's injured again. It's unfortunate. It is. But that's the story here.
Yep. That's part of his story. It's a big part. He's missed more games than he's ever played.
Yep.
And so that's putting it lightly. So these are the Broncos starters who have or will miss significant time to injury. Wide receiver Tim Patrick, wide receiver KJ Hamler, right guard, this is starters now, right guard Quinn Meinerz, right tackle Billy Turner, RB1 Javonte Williams, tight end Greg Dulcich, safety Justin Simmons, outside linebacker Randy Gregory, inside linebacker Josie Jewell, and we're just going into week 5. Yeah. You got to put your mic on to do radio. Got his ass. You try to punk me in the first. I got him. Yes.
Man, why are you so mean? Mean spirited.
No.
So mean.
I only reflect your tone.
Man, never mind.
But the injuries have stacked up here.
Dulcich is not a starter. I wouldn't put him as a starter.
Do you think that he was the plan this offseason?
I don't know. There was a long way to go. I think Albert O was the plan, probably.
And we'll get to him a little bit later.
So I don't know if he's a starter, but it's a lot of guys. But I guarantee you put any NFL team up there, and that's kind of what it looks like. It's, you know, Billy Turner. I mean, we don't even know. But
I'm sure he's going to get asked about it again today.
And Dulcich can come back. Didn't he start on IR? This is the...
I believe he came back this morning.
Oh, he came... Right.
Yeah.
Right, so he can come back. So he might play this week.
He may. That's very interesting. Again, that's another good question for Nathaniel Hackett or Justin Outen that we'll hear from those guys a little bit later in today's show. But in the meantime, the Broncos are bringing in reinforcements. That's next. The Broncos are bringing in reinforcements. Yesterday, George Payton signed running back Latavius Murray from the New Orleans Saints practice squad. We know Latavius Murray. He's been around. He actually played in his first game of the season this past Sunday.
Yeah.
You saw him in that London game.
Yeah. Played well.
Played well.
When I turned it on, I was like, oh, and he was dicing them up. Ran a ball well. I was like, all right, I see you.
He rushed for 57 yards and a tug on just 11 carries in London.
Yeah, he looked good. He looked good. So that was kind of what we expected. They're going to need to go out there, either sign their practice squad running back or go out there and get a veteran player to take the spot of Javonte Williams. Not expecting him to play on Thursday. He'll have an extended weekend to learn the playbook and probably the following week maybe be active.
All right. Coming off his one and only game of the season where he looked good, he's available. It was because Alvin Kamara is like dealing with some ribs or something like that.
Yeah.
And he steps in and plays well, and now he's a Denver Bronco. How does the coaching staff handle the running back room this week?
Oh, man.
Kind of complicated.
It's very complicated. You know, you send in a message to Melvin Gordon? Or,
well, it seemed like they were already trying to send a message to Melvin Gordon.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know if that message was you just can't fumble because he fumbled twice against the 49ers, or the message was Javonte's just the guy and this is where we're going to lean towards.
Well, when it came to the secondary reps, it was Mike Boone going in there first.
Right. So I don't know. But I'm expecting Melvin to start.
So am I.
Yeah.
But this does worth this is worth being mentioned here. If you are trying to send a message to Melvin Gordon that your ball security is totally unacceptable, and you made Mike Boone running back number two, and then all Melvin does is exacerbates your concern by having the most egregious fumble of them all, return to the house, would you just keep the same setup, the same structure as you had this past week with, I'm just playing devil's advocate here because I happen to agree with you. I think Melvin's going to start. But if that was your plan going into the game this past weekend, and the reason that was your plan only gets worse in Melvin's regard, does it make sense to have him jump the guy that you had as RB number two? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know if it was RB2, RB3, or kind of RB2 and 2. You know, yeah, maybe he went in before. Maybe it was a certain personnel package that he was going in on, Mike Boone over Melvin Gordon. I don't know. Maybe it was a couple of plays. They liked Mike Boone better than Gordon. So, you know, I don't know if it was we didn't see Mike Boone get 15 carries Melvin get three.
Right.
It's like, okay. So that's why I'm looking at this thing a little bit different. Like, not all of a sudden did Mike Boone just leap ahead of Melvin Gordon. I'm not ready to go there yet. Right? Every game is different. Every situation is different. And personnel grouping, and depending on what the coaches want to call, maybe they like Mike Boone a little bit better in a certain situation. But I think this week it's probably going to be Melvin. And you're going to give him another chance. Melvin's got more, I don't want to say potential, but he's done more in this league.
Yeah, he has, clearly.
You know, if he can just hold on to the football, he's been running the ball decent. If he just holds on the football, I mean, it was a nice run to start it off. I mean, 8-9 yards. You got to hold on to the football. So I think they're going to give him another chance and try to put confidence in him, right? I think the worst thing you do, if you're going to have to play him, he's going to play, is now all of a sudden he's a backup again, and he's just like, I don't think that's how they're going to operate. So I think they're going to try to boost him up, pump him up, have him as the starter and say, hey, you're our guy, and then just kind of keep your fingers crossed that he doesn't lay it on the turf. And if he does, then he's done.
He's probably done as a Bronco.
Yeah.
If he goes out there in primetime and fumbles again, his time as a Denver Bronco is probably done.
Yeah. You just got to send a message and say, hey, just not good enough. We appreciate it.
But think about how fickle this is. Think about the two differences. Like, you're going to hand this guy the keys and be the starter in primetime. And if he does well, he'll be the starter moving forward. But if he fumbles, he's probably going to be cut from the football team. That is a different type of scenario right there.
They might just be stuck with him.
Even if he fumbles again?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Well, I don't know about it either. That's why I said they might. they might be stuck with him, and then you just demote him to the third string. And because you got to play the long game here also. You know, his money's guaranteed. He's making around $2-2.5 million. It's guaranteed for the year. So you got to pay him regardless. It just depends on what your style is as George Payton and Nathaniel Hackett. You know, do you want to send that message? Or are you looking down the road and say, we might need this guy? Like, we're trying to win football games this year. We might need this guy.
Right.
What happens if all of a sudden, you know, Mike Boone, who limped off the field, by the way, for a little bit.
Yeah, good
what
point.
Happens if he, you know, gets injured? And then, you know, then you're stuck with Latavius Murray and Melvin Gordon, or just Latavius Murray and a practice squad guy.
Wow.
And now you're looking on the streets for another running back.
Right.
But why I say that.
Whoa.
I just like, look, for me, it's like if he fumbles again, go. Got to go. But sometimes you have to take a step back and not be in the heat of the moment type of thing and just say, okay, hey, what about 7 weeks from now? We got to look at 7 weeks from now and the possibility of needing this guy. So maybe you just bench him.
What a tough spot.
It is.
What a tough spot. Hey, I got some breaking news, and it's like the kind that I don't like it for anyone. This is coming from the New York Post, page 6. Tom Brady and Giselle seem to be headed for the end zone. Both have retained divorce lawyers, multiple sources tell page 6. As previously revealed, the couple had been living separately for the past couple months following a, quote, epic fight. And now they're apparently looking at dividing up their multi-million dollar empire.
Wow.
Quote, I never thought this argument would be the end of them, but it looks like it is, one source in the know tells page 6. Quote, I don't think there will be any coming back now. They both have lawyers and are looking to split at what a split will entail, who gets what, and what the finances will be, end quote.
Yeah, I mean, well, it was odd when, you know, Tom went down, you know, took his vacation during training camp, and she didn't go. He was just there with the kids.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah, That's what I saw. And I was like, wow, oh, she wasn't even there. So that's what I saw. Now, that might not be 100% accurate, but that's what I saw, and I thought that was odd. He was just there with the kids.
Wow.
But you can see it on his face. Like,
yeah,
you see
could,
it.
Man.
Just, you can just see it. Like, it's just wearing on him.
It
he
is.
Just doesn't look quite the same. It's really, really wearing on him. You got a lot going on there when you're trying to, when your marriage is falling apart, you got kids involved, and then you got to go out there and try to prepare and play football, you know, and you've been doing it for as long as he's doing it. It just, it takes a lot away. Sometimes that's a good outlet. You know, just to go
go
in the building, get away, not think about it.
Yeah.
Which can be good, but it's, obviously, it makes it tough. It's a lot of distractions going on for him.
Man, I have to tell you, I absolutely hate this story. I know Tom Brady's not like the most loved person around here. I hate the story from a human standpoint.
Of course.
And you're right. And you're looking at him, and he looks like he's got some life zapped out of him.
Yeah.
And why did he come back? Why did he come back and play more football after everything? For this? For to be on a team that's going to get bounced in the wild card round? Like,
that's
the same.
The way you look at it, you know, when you do it 3-4 months ago.
But he retired. He didn't
want to retire. That was obvious. He didn't want to retire. Something was going down, and he's just like, you know, whether it was a conversation between those two or whatever, and he's just like, all right, I'm done. I'll be done. And then the news was going to break or whatever, so he just got out in front of it and did it. And it obviously he didn't want to retire. That wasn't what he wanted to do. He wanted to keep playing. I mean, I look, if you're still feeling like you're playing at a high level.
Which he was.
Right. Yeah, he should have been the MVP. I don't know if you knew that.
Some say.
Some say. I say. And my pocketbook doesn't say because it took a big L. Once you're done, like if he took a year off, he's not coming back. Once you're done, it's over, and you still feel like you can play. You want to give it another shot with those guys. You enjoy your teammates. You enjoy your coaches, all those things. You can't get that anywhere else. You're not getting that going pick up your kid at, you know, at daycare or sixth grade, you know, waiting in the carpool line. You don't get that there.
But Stoke, he already had the other job lined up. It was like, he was going to walk seamlessly into the booth and all this stuff, and he
that's not the same.
But don't forget the documentary. And in the last episode, he retires. the man in the arena or whatever.
I didn't watch it.
Neither did I, but you know, word got back. So, you know, but then you have this report from Schefter, and I think that there's no way of me knowing, and maybe he'll never talk about it, maybe he will, but it seemed like that really pissed him off, and of all people that didn't get to do it on his own terms, I don't know what kind of factor that played, and maybe that added an extra chip on his shoulder and rerouted. I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think you come back just to, like, get at Schefter because he was breaking news. You know, that's a big commitment. He knows that. You know,
sure.
You're 40-something years old.
Sure.
It's like
who knows better than him?
Right. If you're that vindictive, then, you know, wow. I mean, come on. You're not going to come back for a year of football. I just think this is what he does. This is what he loves. And he got away from it. And he's just like, no, I'm going to regret this. And I don't know. I don't know what this epic fight is that this person's talking about.
But it keeps getting referenced, though.
Right.
I keep hearing about this epic fight where she left.
She always says, like, I want him to be happy, if you know, and I want to be supportive of him. And so I don't know. It's just odd. Who knows?
And then last month she unretires from modeling and says it's my time now. Yeah. It's like the whole thing. I don't like it. I hate it for the kids, and it's going to play out in public. But if you're just joining us, Giselle and Tom Brady have hired divorce lawyers. Wow. Okay. We saw something last night for the first time in nearly 2 years. And boy, was it glorious. That's next. We saw something last night for the first time in nearly 2 years. And it was glorious. It looked like how you would hope it would look. And I'm talking about the Nuggets' first preseason game of the season, where we saw Jamal Murray back on a basketball court for the first time in 539 days, Stoke. That is a long time.
Been a while.
But he looked terrific. 10 points in the first half. Didn't play at all in the second half. Had a couple of assists, had a couple of rebounds. He shot 4 of 7 from the field. He made 2 of 3 threes. And also, we saw Michael Porter Jr. back for the first time in nearly a year. And he finished the game with 12 points on 5 for 7 shooting. He shot 2 of 4 from three. So, like, the eyeball test from a health standpoint and just putting the ball in the hoop on your first time back, really, really, really encouraging.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, look, both those guys should be healthy. I mean, this is like almost 2 years for Jamal Murray.
Yep.
You know, that's a long time.
Yep.
So, and he was close last year to returning. They didn't bring him back. All good. Fine with that. He should look great right now, right? I mean, that's the kind of the expectations. Will there be some rust there? Sure, there might be some rust there. But as far as his body and everything and confidence, it should be, he should be feeling really, really good. Michael Porter Jr., look. I'll believe it when I see it. It's almost like Randy Gregory or Billy Turner, you know, making it through a year playing, you know. I'll believe it when I see it, if he can just stay healthy.
I get it.
Right?
I get it.
That's kind of where I'm at, and hopefully he's ready to take that step forward. He needs to take a step forward, but he also has to stay healthy. So that's kind of where I'm at with him. But Jamal, that's awesome. We know what he can do. You know, he can stay healthy, but the Michael Porter Jr., it's the back, it's the drop foot, it's this, it's that, it's always something.
Yep. And there's a reason. That's why he slipped to where he slipped in the first place. Unfortunately, some of those fears have been reinforced. Now, we did see him play for a whole season, and he averaged 19 points a game as a second-year player. I'm not going to tell you not to be concerned, because we all should be concerned. We should be hyper-sensitive to the health of Porter Jr., but I will say this, man. Seeing him last night and just the way he was moving, it was a bit of a reminder what he looks like when he's right. That dude is a bucket. He is a bucket. Now, he's got a long way to go still defensively. I think Mike Malone is, now his hair is going to be hard to grab because it's very, very short, so he might need tweezers, but he may rip his hair out a couple times this year because of some of the defense. But it was a reminder of what that guy looks like at his size, with his shooting ability, the step backs, the threes. It was working. It had a dunk. I mean, he just looks good. So we're all kind of hesitant and holding our breath, almost like when Melvin Gordon gets a football. But We'll see what it looks like. I was really all we can do is like it's almost like reacting to week one. All we can do is react to what we've seen. We seen him for the first time in a year. Guy looked like a bucket last night.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, obviously he's he's long, he's tall, he can shoot it, and we've seen him look like this before. It's just being able to stay healthy.
That's it.
That's it. Last year he starts off and then it's. Eight games in, nine, 10 games in early in the season, then he's done, and then we don't see him again. And tremendous potential there, obviously. But it's time to, hopefully take that next step and just be able to be on the court and be healthy. And hopefully that's the case because, this team needs to stay healthy this year if they want to win a championship. You're not going to be beating some of these teams if you're not a healthy basketball team. You're just not.
Nope.
You're just not going to do it. So,
but you're also not going to stay injury-free for a whole season. The hope is that when the time comes and everything's on the line, that you got your dudes.
That's right.
And if you don't have your dudes, you're not going to win at all. But the expectation for this team, the goal, not the expectation, the goal is to go win the NBA title. They have all the traditional ingredients to do it, Stoke. So let's see how it looks. Zeke Nnaji impressed me. This is a big year for him. And I said this a couple weeks ago to DMAC. The additions of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Bruce Brown, I think we're going to be getting into the season saying, oh, my gosh, look at the upgrade defensively. Oh, my gosh, look at what Bruce Brown did to fill-in-the-blank player defensively and just was an irritant and slowed this guy down. He might be your sixth man. We'll see what it looks like when the games start to matter. But that's never going to grab the headline on ESPN, but you need ingredients like that if you're going to win as many games as I think the Nuggets are going to win this year. And I think this team could win 55, 57 basketball games this year. So we'll see what it looks like. Bones Highland really struggled and actually got benched at the start of the second quarter, Stoke. I think maybe there's a bit of an assumption that because of his first year went as well as it did, being named a second-team all-rookie, and because Mike Malone played him as a rookie, which is a task unto itself, that he's just, everything's kind of hit the ground running. We'll see what it looks like between
I thought you felt good
two.
About him.
I did, and I do, and I do. And
okay.
But I still think there's going to be the traditional ups and downs of a young basketball player.
Sure. I mean, he's just in his second year, right? And he how many minutes did he play last year? I mean,
I would say 12. I'm going to pull it up. Yeah, I'd say 12 to 14.
Yeah. So, look, he's still developing.
Excuse me. He played 19 minutes a game.
Wow.
That's a little bit more than I thought there.
Wow. I was with you. Okay. First preseason game, we'll see. But hopefully, because that guy can provide. We talked about him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we did.
I don't know why, but we did. And he can provide something that not many other guys on that team can do.
Nope, you're right. He had a drive where he looked like Rajon Rondo with the control and his hand size and his arm length. He just has it like just kind of whipping it. He's like a hybrid between Rajon Rondo, Jamal Crawford, and Dame Lillard with the ability to really stretch defenses with hitting these far shots. The Nuggets had an inter-squad scrimmage last week, and the word coming out from people who were there, able to watch the limited amount, and people who were there watching the full amount, they said Bones Highland was the second-best player after Jokic. So, but there's going to be nights that...
Like last night. Or he gets benched for whatever reason.
Yep. So obviously we'll see what it looks like. It's game number one. It wasn't perfect by any means. There was a lot of points in the paint, a lot of made threes from the Oklahoma City Thunder. Who cares? It's first preseason game. It's just about staying healthy, getting in game shape.
That's right, and
hitting the ground running here.
All right, good start.
Love it. And by the way, first episode of the Mile High Hoops podcast for this season being recorded after the show.
Oh.
A larger, more expansive, and more detailed conversation.
Love it.
You can come by if you want.
Today?
Yeah, today.
I got to pick up Carson.
Okay.
Next time.
Okay, we're going to hear from Nathaniel Hackett, Russell Wilson here in just a couple minutes. But first, there's one guy within the Broncos that has got nothing but praise thus far. But is the shine coming off a bit? Oh. That's next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.